The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's episode is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Sal for asking me to cover more stories out of my local region, the Greater Newcastle and Hunter Valley area. I am incredibly lucky to live in such a beautiful part of the world. I have beaches and vineyards and mountains and countryside right at my doorstep. I don't have to travel far to experience anything. Even the big city of Sydney is only a 2-hour drive away. It's a city life but small town feels, and look, even given the podcasts and knowing the evils that are out there, there is that false sense of security, because everyone still knows everyone. You don't think that someone can literally steal you away forever, only yards from your home, but that is exactly what happened in this week's story. November 1994, Charlestown, New South Wales, Australia. 16-year-old Gordana was abducted while walking home from a local shopping centre. She was just 42 steps from her aunt's front door when she was dragged into a vehicle by two men and never seen again. Gordana's loved ones have spent years since her abduction in an unrelenting search for answers. But despite wide-scale police searches and multiple eyewitness accounts, as well as ongoing public appeals and rewards, Gordana's body has never been found. This is Gordana's story.
It's been one of the state's most enduring murder mysteries. What happened to Gordana Katevsky? The 16-year-old was last seen being forced into a car outside a Newcastle shopping centre in 1994.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42.
42 steps. The difference between getting home safely or disappearing forever. The Gordana Katevsky case horrified parents around the country. An innocent girl ambushed while she walked home by two men who sped away in a white ute.
You never stop grieving. The heartfelt pain that you carry every day never changes.
Gordana Katevsky was born December 19th, 1977 in Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia, to parents Peggy and Brenko. Gordana was your classic middle child with a big sister Carolina and a little brother Damien. She was bright, happy and always full of energy. She loved her family more than anything. The Katevskys are a Macedonian family, which there is quite a sizable Macedonian community in Newcastle, and Gordana revelled in the culture and socialisation. She loved being around people. Gordana loved dancing and spent most of her spare time with the Newcastle Steve Newmov dancing group, honing her craft. On the evening of November 24th, 1994, a Thursday, 16-year-old Gordana went shopping with her best friend Betty at Charlestown Square Shopping Centre. Her parents had given her permission to attend her first concert, Boys to Men, the next weekend. Gordana was beside herself with excitement and of course wanted a new outfit to mark the occasion, a black dress and some leggings. While she was there, Gordana also put on layaway a new bikini for the summer, in preparation as the weather was just starting to warm up. Gordana couldn't drive yet, so when she finished shopping, she was to walk to her aunt's house on Powell Street, which is right behind the shopping centre. It was maybe a 5-minute walk, and then her mother Peggy would pick her up from there. Now, in a final destination, butterfly effect moment if I've ever heard of one, On this night, Gordana's friend Betty had borrowed her mother's car and offered to drive Gordana to her aunt's house. But she waved her off. It was literally across the street and down a short hill. It seemed silly for Betty to go out of her way to drive her. And it was a lovely evening with hints of summer in the air. Gordana was happy to walk. Now, Charlestown was and still is considered a safe area. Definitely middle class and very populated. So, for a 16-year-old to walk in what is a residential area, across the main road from a busy shopping centre, it seemed safe. It should have been safe. There would have been cars driving past, people going home from work and shopping themselves. Again, as I mentioned, that false sense of security that we can all sometimes have. It would be around 8:45 p.m. when Gordana made her trip towards her aunt and uncle's. It was summer daylight savings, so while it would have been dark, it wasn't nighttime dark. Around the same time, Gordana passed a small group of boys skateboarding, who would later report seeing Gordana walking alone. And Gordana definitely stood out. She was tall, slender, with curly brown hair, massive dark brown eyes and a magnetic smile. She attracted male attention, sometimes unwanted, which will come into play a little later in our story. These boys would later report to police, seeing a white truck driving slowly behind Gordana, like they were looking for something or someone. Before the truck drove ahead of the teen, completing a U-turn, and then parking on the wrong side of the street several feet away. An elderly resident living on Powell Street, Audrey Bernard, would also later report looking out her window and seeing Gordana walk past, carrying some plastic shopping bags. She said she remembered seeing Gordana because she remembered thinking how beautiful she was. Quote, "She was walking with that spring in her step, like the world was wonderful." Unquote. And that honestly breaks my heart with what's to come. Gordana's aunt, Sonia Simovich, was helping her daughter with her homework when she heard some loud screams from outside in the street. At first, she disregarded them as neighbourhood children playing around. But then she couldn't shake an unease because, on second thought, the screams sounded like they came from a female, and they continued on for longer than 30 seconds. Sonia called upon her husband, Greg, to come outside with her to investigate. Safety in numbers. When they got out into their front yard, they didn't really see anything besides a white Toyota Hilux four-wheel drive that was quickly driving away in the opposite direction to their house, towards the Pacific Highway, so up the hill towards the shopping centre and out of the area. So without seeing anything of concern, it was easy to then write off what Sonia heard as just the neighbourhood kids playing around, and then they went back inside to continue on with their evening. 9 p.m. 22-year-old Carolina, Gordana's older sister. Carolina called her aunt Sonia looking for Gordana. Remember, this is the 1990s and there are no cell phones, no social media with group chats. Basically, phone tag on the landline home phone was the only way to communicate. Carolina was a new mum to a little girl, Stevie, and living in Sydney at the time. She was in Newcastle for a few days, and she thought she would surprise Gordana and pick her up herself. Gordana was obsessed with baby Stevie, so the opportunity seemed perfect. But Gordana obviously wasn't there, so then would be the phone around to all of Gordana's friends. It would be 9:30 p.m. at this point, and Sonia was starting to panic. The shopping centre had been shut for about an hour. Sonia and Greg went back outside to do a quick canvas of the area to see if they could see Gordana walking towards their home. Maybe it was wishful thinking, praying at this point. What they would find is their niece's purse and a shopping bag. Inside were her purchases and a receipt. The shopping bag handle was torn, which police would later attribute to Gordana fighting against her abductor. 16-year-old Gordana Kateski would never be seen again. Abducted only 30 metres or 3 feet from the safety of her aunt and uncle's home. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Spark something uncommon this holiday season with incredible hand-picked gifts from Uncommon Goods. If you want to hear, that's exactly what I wanted, that Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free. by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you are shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what you want. I've recently moved to a new home, and Uncommon Goods have the most cutest home decor. From pillows to hand-poured candles, which I must say, your girl cannot get enough of either. And none of this is mass-produced. There is love and care put into every item, which I love. I'm all about supporting the little creator. Give your loved one that bespoke gift for Christmas that is high quality and unique, just like them. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a non-profit partner of your choice. They have donated more than $3 million to date, which is insanely amazing and something I can definitely get behind. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/stolen. That's uncommongoods.com/stolen for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. 1998. Strike Force Fenwick would be formed to investigate the disappearances of up to 20 young people from the Newcastle area over a 20-year period. Interestingly and heartbreakingly, Gordana is the only remaining case still being actively investigated, despite many still not being resolved. As part of Strike Force Fenwick, the neighbour, Audrey Bernard, who had seen Gordana, was again interviewed. She would report seeing a white Toyota Hilux, and this piqued the investigators' interest, as Sonia and Greg would also report seeing the same vehicle driving away just after the screams on the night Gordana disappeared. This same resident gave more information, however, that she saw two men standing near the vehicle, and during the 2003 coronial inquest, quote, "I am certain of the make and model of the vehicle and my husband, who had recently passed away. He had a Toyota Hilux, which he used on the farm. I saw two male figures standing at the rear. They were half turned towards each other, and they were moving their arms about in an animated fashion," unquote. The investigation into Gordana's disappearance was extensive. Interviews with witnesses were done twice. Searches of the area, which included quite a large bushland area behind Gordana's aunt's house, and that was all searched at least twice. Around 300 owners of Toyota Hilux vehicles in the area had their vehicles searched, but to no avail. No evidence of what happened to Gordana could be found. As I mentioned before, Gordana came from a large Macedonian family and her parents were quite strict. She really wasn't allowed to go out much and had only recently started to enjoy some freedom as far as her social life went. It would only be when the authorities started questioning Gordana's friends did a potential person of interest come into play. Gordana had been complaining about a certain young man who had taken an interest to her in recent months. Someone who Gordana did not return his interest and had nicknamed him as the spook amongst her friends. She knew his first name, but I guess was just trying to laugh it off, maybe to help alleviate any anxiety surrounding this. But this man would conveniently show up wherever Gordana was, whether it be at a shopping centre or even at work. Gordana was working at a deli in the suburb of Jesmond, but when this man kept showing up, "Look, I'm going to call it as I see it," he was stalking her. But because of this, Gordana would quit this job and take up another job at a Pizza Hut at Charlestown Square, but this man still managed to find her. And these suburbs are maybe a 15-minute drive from each other, not something he could really explain away as just being in the area. This man made Gordana so uncomfortable that she requested a more behind-the-scenes position at work, that she no longer wanted to serve customers and the chance her stalker would come into the store. Co-workers at the stores Gordana worked at witnessed the interactions on several occasions, and they would report that something felt off. Gordana's mother Peggy would also tell investigators she saw the spook one afternoon when the mother and daughter went grocery shopping together. He approached them and told Gordana how pretty she looked. Peggy would later report that she didn't think much of it, that while it was a little strange, it wasn't out of the realms of reality of something that could happen. Just before she went missing, Gordana went as far as telling her sister Carolina that she was afraid of the spook and that he was going to hurt her, although there is no indication that any threats were made. after Gordana disappeared. Those who knew the spook's name were put under hypnosis to recall his name, but this proved unsuccessful. But those who saw him described the spook as being in his early 20s, Middle Eastern appearance, and he'd be often accompanied by a blonde surfer-looking friend. Which, living in Newcastle with its dozens of beaches and very multicultural population, it really didn't narrow the search down or help investigators identify their person of interest. And this wouldn't be the only time investigators used hypnosis as a method to try to tap into witnesses' memories. Six witnesses from the day of Gordana's abduction went under hypnosis in an attempt to remember more details of the abduction, like the license plate number of the vehicle, but again all efforts were unsuccessful. There were also some mysterious phone calls 6 weeks before Gordana disappeared. A man called her home and her mother Peggy answered the phone. This man said he was calling from a new shop called Gumleaf. Gordana wasn't home at the time and Peggy told him as much, giving him the phone number of Gordana's friend Belinda, who she was spending the day with at her house. Belinda would later tell reporters that Gordana was quite shaken by the phone call, because this man asked her quite inappropriate questions, including what size bra she wore. After Gordana went missing, Peggy remembered this interaction and reported the man to police, just hoping it would help the investigation. Maybe it was linked in some way. But it would be discovered there was no shop called Gumleaf, and the caller was most likely Gordana's stalker, the spook. Unfortunately, the disappearance of 16-year-old Gordana Kotesky went cold, but this doesn't mean Gordana was ever far from the thoughts of the residents of Newcastle and the investigators involved. In 2000, forensic investigators did a reconstruction operation in front of Sonia's home where Gordana went missing, all in the hopes it would jog someone's memory. February 2003, a coronial inquest was held to determine what happened to the missing teen. This inquest determined that Gordana was most likely deceased as a result of foul play, that she was abducted and murdered by an unknown person or persons. In 2009, the police announced that due to advancements in forensic testing, they were able to retrieve a partial fingerprint from the plastic bag Gordana had dropped during her abduction. Unfortunately, when checked across a national database, the police failed to find a match. And while this would have been another crushing blow for the family and for investigators, at least that fingerprint is now in the system in the hopes that one day a match will be found.
Robin Hickey was last seen waiting at this bus stop on the Pacific Highway at Belmont North at about 20:08 on April the 7th. Since she disappeared, the police, her family and her friends have made extensive inquiries, but there's been absolutely no lead to her whereabouts or to what may have happened to her. The police have also searched bushland in this area, but have found nothing, and they now hold grave fears for Robin's safety. Her mother, Mrs. Mary Hickey, describes what happened the night Robin left the house to go to a party.
She left here about 7:30 on the Saturday night, the 7th of April, to go to a party, and she went across to the bus stop heading south towards Belmont.
And when she didn't come home by the next day, were you immediately concerned?
Very concerned, because it was so out of character for her. She always contacted me, and even if she had stayed at a girlfriend's place, she was always home first thing in the morning because she knew she had to work.
And then in 2019, Strike Force Arapama was established to re-examine the investigation into Gordana's disappearance and suspected murder, along with two other missing teens from the same area, Robin Hickey and Amanda Robertson. An 18-year-old Robin Hickey left her home around 7:15 p.m. on April 7, 1979, and she was last seen standing at a bus stop on the Pacific Highway, Belmont North. 2 weeks later, 14-year-old Amanda Robertson went missing. She was also near a bus stop, but on Lake Road, Swansea, after attending her high school dance. Despite an extensive investigation at the time, neither girl have ever been found. Given the similarities of the disappearances and going missing only literally down the road from each other, it is accepted that Robin and Amanda's disappearances are likely linked.
A $1 million reward is now on offer in the cold case disappearance of a 16-year-old girl almost three decades ago. Police say they have new leads in relation to the baffling Lake Macquarie case, with the girl's mother vowing today she'll never give up.
Gordana Katevsky celebrating her 16th birthday. It would be her last.
For the perpetrators, know that I'll never give up until we get to the bottom of it. My face will be in your face 24/7 till my last breath.
Today, some hope with a long-awaited $1 million reward for information leading to a conviction.
If you have been sitting on this information for almost 28 years, now's the time.
Along with reopening the investigation into Gordana's disappearance, May 2022, it was announced there was now a $1 million reward on offer for information leading to a conviction. Gordana's mother Peggy addressed the media after the announcement, stating the pain she had endured over the decades was indescribable, that she feared the reward offered was too little too late. Quote, "Different days have different feelings. Some days are better than others. And other days you can't even get up and get out of bed. It's like a terminal illness. You never get over it." Unquote.
I live with the pain every day. I heard her screaming. I heard her calling for my help.
Today's reward coincides with International Missing Children's Day, the AFP releasing a heartbreaking video.
There's no closure. Like, you're always thinking, what happened? You know, where are they?
Gordana's family hopes the truth will finally be revealed.
There have been several persons of interest mentioned over the decades since Gordana went missing, both in the media and on unsolved mysteries and true crime forums. The first being Corey Lovett. Lovett was questioned only days after Gordana disappeared in November 1994. During the coronial inquest, it was discovered that police failed to identify several discrepancies in his alibi. Another man named Craig Pont was questioned at the time, and he said that Lovett was with him at his property near Taree in country New South Wales at the time Gordana went missing. But Lovett himself said he was in Newcastle during this same time period. Investigators took statements from two other people in 1994 who said that Lovett was with them in Newcastle but wasn't in the actual area where Gordana went missing. But how Lovett became a person of interest to investigators was that he was going around boasting that he knew where Gordana's remains were buried. That she, quote, "went through a lot before they finished her off," unquote. As at the time of the coronial inquest, the authorities could not locate the whereabouts of Corey Lovett, and police have not been able to question him further. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Now, unfortunately, this time in Newcastle was quite a dark time for girls going missing. In fact, including Gordana, Robin Hickey and Amanda Robertson, a total of 10 young women went missing in a 16-year period. There is some suggestion in the news media and in online forums that maybe this is the work of a serial killer, an infamous serial killer at that, Ivan Milat, the backpacker killer. Milat lived and worked in Newcastle throughout the 1970s and 80s. Now, obviously, Milat could not have been involved in Gordana's case, because by 1994 he was already in prison for other crimes. But I do think he is a strong suspect for Robin and Amanda's disappearances. But given Milat is now dead, if he knows more about what happened, he has taken those secrets to the grave with him. I do believe he killed more people than he was found guilty for. And possibly there are many more bodies in the Belangolo State Forest that will never be found given the sheer size and density of the forest. But I digress. Back to Gordana's story. Gordana's story is thought to be connected to the disappearances of Amanda, Robin and 20-year-old Leanne Goodall. And Leanne went missing December 30th, 1978, only 4 months before Robin and Amanda. She also went missing at a bus stop after leaving the Star Hotel on the Pacific Highway Belmont, the same area as Robin and Amanda. Now, personally, I wouldn't think these cases are connected to Gordana. Simply given the time gap between the first three young women going missing and then Gordana, we are talking 16 years. Again, as I said before, I strongly believe Robin, Amanda and Leanne's disappearances to be the responsibility of the same person or persons. But Gordana feels different, a different scenario or setting surrounding her disappearance. In recent years, in 2018, an unidentified woman and her son reached out to reporters that they believed a male relative may be responsible for Gordana's disappearance, that he had sexually abused several female members of their family and had been caught with child pornography in his possession, that after Gordana went missing and her image was everywhere in the media, this male relative spoke inappropriately sexually about the missing teen, going into detail what he would like to do with her. And according to the woman and her son, he looked very similar to the composite sketch of one of the men seen standing next to the Toyota Hilux on the day Gordana was taken. And that this man had a teenage girlfriend at the time who looked almost identical to Gordana, and he had recently broken up with her and he wasn't taking it well. So did he abduct and murder Gordana to project his feelings of anger towards his ex-girlfriend? It is an interesting theory. This woman would also allege this male relative owned a white utility truck, but couldn't remember the make and model, but that she'd reported her suspicions to Crime Stoppers 20 years prior, but this was never followed up with her, and this male relative has never been questioned by police. Around the time this episode is released, it will be the 30th anniversary of Gordana's disappearance. Despite being only 10 years old myself when Gordana vanished, I remember seeing news reports and hearing my grandparents talk about any updates daily. Even now sitting in my little recording booth, I can picture with ease basically the exact place where Gordana was taken. That shopping centre was and still is a popular hangout spot for teens. But in Gordana's honour, the Mist Foundation are working towards creating a mural so Gordana is never forgotten. Last month's and this month's Patreon earnings will be donated to this campaign. Gordana's beautiful face has been burnt into my memory, as with most Novocastrians, and she deserves that legacy. If you wish to donate to making this mural a reality, I will place the links in the show notes. At the time of Gordana's disappearance, she was 16 years old. She was 162 centimetres tall, or around 5'3", and of slim build, with long, curly, dark brown hair and brown eyes. If Gordana was still alive today, she would be 46 years old. If you have any information regarding the disappearance and presumed murder of Gordana Kateski, please contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000. There is currently a $1 million reward for any information resulting in an arrest and conviction in this case. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the case we discussed today, or any case we talk about on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Twitter, search lives_stolen, or on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.